The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
We ask you to have your way through the hearts of these people that are gathered here this day. Lord, I ask you, as I build this bridge from your word to their hearts, pass through this word into their circumstances, situations, and their heart. Lord, the word is cure. Create a change in the name of Jesus. That these people will become living testimonies of divine presence. In the name of Jesus. It shall be a month of new beginning for you. This is the month of March. You will no longer march backwards. I'm going to take it for granted that you came with your mouth to church. I said, this is a month of March. You won't march backwards.
Amen.
Listen to me. If you ever want to see a sign, you must make a sound. In this race, there is no place for somebody who is quiet. Until your voice is heard, your sound cannot be heard. In this month of March, whatever God has put inside you will be made manifest.
Amen.
In this month of March, as this January, February, we have entered March now, whatever plant, whatever seed that was deposited in your heart, I declare that it shall be made manifest. Every side of your life will begin to speak of God's goodness.
Amen.
The next time when you say God is good, it will fit you.
Amen.
When you say God is good, they won't ask you what is good about God. When you say God is good, they will see from your life that God is good.
Amen.
Your light will shine in darkness and darkness will not cover it. The reason for which Jesus died for you, from today as we prophesy the word of God to you, it shall be made manifest.
Amen.
I believe that the reason why God brought you to this particular month is there is a story that he started telling with your life in January, February, that is not finished. I point at somebody under the sound of my voice. The story God is telling about your life, everybody will hear it. The story the devil has been telling, from today nobody will hear that story again.
Amen.
When you hear breaking news, is either something good or something bad has happened. I said to you, breaking news of this month, your name shall be attached to it.
Amen.
As you put your faith to work, when breaking news will be announced, they shall be announcing your name. I don't know whom I'm speaking to, but soon your birthday will become a national holiday.
Yeah.
I don't know whom I'm talking to. People have been there before you, but the Lord will use you to make a statement.
Yeah.
I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has he entered the heart of man what God prepared for those who love him. Friends, there are things prepared for you. You will not miss it.
Amen.
You are the one I'm talking to. The things that have been prepared for you, it will not be aborted. You will not miscarry it. You will carry it. Eyes will see it. In Jesus' precious name. God bless you. This is our month of putting your faith to work. So I'm preaching on putting your faith to work, part one. If you look at the picture, you can see that that man there is walking seriously. Putting your faith to work. Until you walk it, it won't work. Anything you refuse to walk remains the way it is. An object continues in its state of inertia until force is added to it. So whatever you want to change, you have to walk it. Lift your hands and say, I will walk it. Now, by this topic of this month, some of you will walk things that will create a dimension of favor that no eyes have seen. You can see that you are not even walking it with your mouth in church. Now, why do you come to church and forget to say amen? When people go to native doctor, he said, even when they don't want, they're not supposed to add, he said, they'd add. And they are attentive to know when to add, he said. Now, I just said something about your life that a resounding amen should follow. I said there is a dimension of favor. As you walk it, it shall be released unto you. Sounds more like it. Putting your faith to work. Holy Spirit, incubate these words as I speak. Last week, we were looking at faith. And I told you that faith is not giving your consent. If you remember very vividly, that faith is acting on God's word. And I gave several illustrations to portray that faith is an action word. How many of you went home acting your faith? After you heard those messages I preached about somebody who said, I'm hungry, and they gave him food, he sang about the food and slumped and he still died. How many of us went home last week acting our faith? That's the reason my topic for this month is putting your faith to work. Because what you were told last Sunday, you haven't done it. And now, we are here again this Sunday. Is it to take more information that we will not put to practice? Somebody say, God forbid. Now, the scripture, the foundation scriptures that we shall be looking at, James chapter 1, 22. Do what God's teaching says. When you only listen and do nothing, you are fooling yourselves. One of the things I hate is to fool myself. If I'm going to fool myself, what is the need of leaving my house on a Sunday morning? Tomorrow work starts. I might as well lie down and sleep. If you come to church and they tell you what to do, and you refuse, you go away, you refuse to do it, it is fooling yourself. That's what the Bible said. I'm taking it one after the other. And there are many people in church who are fooling themselves. God is not Father Christmas. God is not a lottery chief executive where you play lottery and win. God is not Cinderella's fairy tale mother, who comes out and hits a magic wand on your face, on your head, and from head to toe, you change. God is not like that. God is a person who says, if you do your part, I have already done my part. So if you do your part, you are guaranteed to, you are sure that you will get the results. That's what we're looking at. How to start doing our part. How to put our faith to work. The second one says, my brothers and sisters, if people say, we're going to read it together. If people say, they have faith, but do nothing. Their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that save them? A brother or a sister in Christ might need clothes or food. If you say to that person, God be with you. I hope you stay warm and get plenty to eat. But you do not give to that person's needs. Your words are nothing. In the same way, faith that is alone, that does nothing, is dead. Someone might ask, you have faith, but I have deeds. Show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. But the demons believe that too, and they tremble with fear. You foolish person, must you be shown that faith that does nothing is worth nothing? I've been preaching on that. This man is writing to a community of believers, not pagans, not atheists. He said to them, if you say that you have faith, and then you are indifferent, is a useless faith. I'm going to take it from the context, take it away from church, and take it to the streets. The ex-governor of Cross River State said he had faith. He's a cross bearer. How did he express his faith? Go to Cross River State. Don't go. Just a click on the internet. Cross River State, a state in Nigeria, has almost been turned into an international city. I was in Calabar in December. I was shocked that I could not see a piece of paper dropped anywhere on the floor. All the bike men, all of them were wearing helmets. The level of the order in the city amazed me. I saw dustbins at public buildings. I entered the university, it was so clean that I noticed that in the lives of the people, they were clean. They were getting ready for Christmas. They were preparing the entire town for Christmas. They were decorating the streets. And I was going to attend the carnival. I couldn't go for two reasons. By first week of December, all the hotels are booked. Economy power. Because somebody translated his faith from the four walls of the church into his career life. And every year, people from some parts of the world, all over the world, go to Calabar, and there is so much money that people are turning their homes into hotels to make money while the carnival is going on. And the different band groups are paid millions to put together a dance that starts, this thing starts, it's almost a week. And the government organizes an entertainment at the stadium, and there is the day for gospel. I was going to go, so I studied it. Show me your faith by what you do. Number two, let's take it still far away. Let's not go very far. If you look at our society, yesterday that my children woke me up, I was sleeping. I saw five teenagers, they were less than 12, who used scissors to start a 2K bus and were driving it to where? Mrs. Samuel said, what are they driving that into? Well, to go and sell. They took it at night, drove it with their two hands and two legs, and were going to sell. And I was listening to the hold on. I was listening to the interview. The young boy said, they asked him, so how did you learn to drive? He said, now my oga teach me to drive. How he teach you? He said, when I be conductor, you go tell me, say, make I go buy fuel. And that my oga not treat me well. So when I see him boss, I say, make we sell him. Hold on. Let us assume that we all translate our faith from the four walls of our churches into our street. And let us assume that this Oga goes to church. When this Oga met this boy at 10 years, at 9 years, what he's supposed to do for the boy is equip the boy for leadership, not multiply social viruses and ills. Some of us are sitting down under the comfort of a church. I've not come to preach to you. I've come to challenge you. Now look at what happens. For the past 2 weeks, the death toll in Benin City is about 15 to 20. 15 to 20 people have died on counter cult clashes. Some of us here, you mobilized people and they entered cult. You were a role model. Now you have, when you mobilize them, you go to church. You were not a pagan. Don't tell me that you were not born again. Every human being knows what is good. And what, there are some people who don't go to church, they are moralists. They keep the laws. The seeds you have sown, they have grown. And all of us are reaping from your good work. Thank you. Some of us are now big shots in House of Assembly, House of Senate. Which one is in Abuja? Yes. Some of us now are ministers of this, ministers of that, governor of this, governor of that. But you mobilized people and they entered. Now you have gone, it has become a menace. Will you not now come and sit down to see how to solve the problem? The monsters we create yesterday, if we don't do something about them, they will arise and destroy the future. When we were mobilizing them, we were young. We didn't know that one day we will outgrow that place and come to... The only way you say you have faith is by what you do after you leave this church. We don't need you to apply your faith here. The pastors are already applying their faith here. We need you to apply your faith at home. We need you to apply your faith in school. I was told that one of the private universities around, some students from among them went and robbed everybody. They go to church. In fact, as I'm talking, some of them may be here. I have not come to preach to you. I have come for us to re-examine what we call our faith. If you say you have faith and your faith cannot save us, is a useless faith. I like us to know that there is no way we can continue to watch our society decay in moral viruses and we comply with indifference. What did I tell you last week that Wole Soyinka said? Ours is a wasted generation that led to this present precarious situation. God forbid that when you are his age, you say the same thing. With all your philosophy, masters in this, masters in that, you should be able to do something about our society. And I'm going to tell you where to start. That's the only way to show that you have faith. If somebody is in need, and you say to the person, oh, my sister, I prophesy to you now that God will give you food. When I looked at what happened at the TV, at Crime Watch, and I said to myself, it's time to include street children in the orphanage part of living your dreams. We can't keep hoping that somebody will arise one day and change the situation. The change starts one person at a time. Become the agent of the change you want to see. Be the change. And then the people around you will emulate the change. role models. Listen to me. Everybody is a leader, whether you like it or not. The point is, it's not whether you're a leader. It means, it's just that, are you leading well or are you leading badly? Because at each point in time, you are a leader. Everybody is influencing somebody. Whether you don't need to have a title, you don't need to have a position, and nothing happens until leaders do something. Fake drugs was the order of the day until Dora stood up and applied her faith. She believed that people should not be killed by taking fake drugs. She rose up and applied her faith. Listen, let's not go far. I want to see your faith in your family. I want to see your faith in your wife, in your kids. I want to see your faith in your security officer. I want to see your, the way your security officer talks to people is your faith. Listen, not doing something is an action. Indifference is an action. Hoping that something happens is an action. When do I see your faith? If I walk into your company, walk into your business, and the people I meet in your place, they have good, excellent customer care, I have seen your faith. Oh, and there is no way they can have an excellent customer care until you rise up and take them for a training for them to put into practice what they know. Listen, nobody can act above what he knows. What they are doing in your family or in your company or in your school is what they know. If you want them to act differently, train them differently. Oh, let's run up. Are you still here? It simply says, faith is dead when you have nothing to show for it. The only way you show your faith is by your action. Faith requires action. Holy Spirit, help me. The next time you say you have faith, check it. Before you say, I believe, check it. Do you know what many of us do? It's what the devil does. The devil believes that there is God. He trembles with fear. Many of us believe that there is God. When we come to church, we behave ourselves. We manage to sit where the ushers tell us to sit. I didn't say you see, manage to. We manage to sit where the ushers tell us to sit. We manage to keep quiet in church because God is here. And then when you see your pastor, you behave yourself because you are trembling. That is God's representative. That's the same thing God, devil does. But after you leave your pastor and you leave your church and you are at home alone, where you are the pastor and your wife is your resident pastor and your children are your associate pastors, do you still tremble? And when you go to your school, if you are the you are in the faculty, you, all of you there are associate pastors of that faculty. The head pastor is the head of the department, and every other person is an associate representing one thing or the other. Is either you are representing the kingdom of darkness, that's your faith, or you're representing the kingdom of light. Whatever you do, irrespective of what you say, determines what you believe. If you want things to turn out well, what must I do? That's a question that anybody who is serious about life must always ask. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. The New Living Translation says, physical training is good, but training for godliness. Just take the scripture. Just take the scripture. You don't copy all the scripture. And then look at the slide. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. The King James Version says, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things,
having promise of life that is now, that is to come. I didn't understand that, so I go for the New Living Translation. Please look at me now. I have spent time talking about how you should exercise your faith. I have spent time talking about why you should exercise your faith. I want to show you how. The first thing you notice about life is everybody wants to live long. And for you to live long, the book tells you how to live long. Physical training. I wish believers will use the kind of time that athletes use, the amount of energy and commitment they give to bodybuilding, so that when they go, they will win a trophy or a medal. I wish in church we have people who will spend the same amount of energy and commitment building and developing their faith. Listen, you come to church to be trained to do something. You don't master it until you start doing it. And you don't do it in church. You do it at home or at your place of work. That's what I want you to get into your system before you go home today. You don't exercise your faith here in family. We know, because you are here, we know you're a Christian. Because you don't need to prove anything to us. The people that do not know that you're a Christian are the people that meet you at your place of work 24/7. The people that do not know what you believe are the people you meet at home. Those are the people you have to show Christ to, because you are a bridge between them and Christ. If you are a bad bridge, they will not follow Christ. But if you are a good bridge, they will follow Christ. Physical training. What is physical training? When I used to go to gym, I discovered that there are levels of weight. The amount of muscle you have determines the amount of weight you will carry. If you want to carry 450 pounds weight, you better have 450 pounds muscle. If you go to a gym and you see five people, this one is carrying 500 pounds, this one is carrying 800 pounds, this one is carrying 200 pounds, and you have never carried anyone at all, and you want to impress them, and you just come say, people are carrying weight. I can carry more than all of you. I can carry more than all of you. And then you go there, you see 3,000 pounds. You do, we don't know whether you will come back. But if you have been exercising and developing your muscle, at a time your muscle can carry 30. At a time your muscle can carry 30. One day your muscle can carry 400. Even one day your muscle can carry 4,000. In the same way, if you have been developing your faith, your circumstances, it is your faith that you use to change your circumstances. Am I communicating? There is a time that when you have simple headache, you need Panadol 3 times a day to solve it, because that's the level of your faith. But a time comes when you have simple headache, you may not need Panadol 3 times a day to carry it. Your faith has been developed to the point that it can change your circumstances. I speak to somebody today, receive the discipline for such work. Let me show you some of the things we do. You come to church, a pastor preaches a good message on giving, and you say, wow, I have learned it. I have learned it. And then you go home. You say, I'm exercising my faith. You write a check of 300,000. And then you come to church and say, pastor, I'm giving you this check by faith. I don't have 300,000 in my account, but I'm giving you this check by faith. You may not even tell us. The account department will really think that. And then the account department takes the check, pays it into our account, and we are now charged money for a bounce check. What am I supposed to do? You're not supposed to write a check and give anybody. That's a lie. That's illegal. You're supposed to write the check and put it where you can see it, and then start developing muscles of your faith to be able to bring that thing into manifestation. That's how it works. You begin your life inside out, not outside in. If there is anything you're expecting God to do for you, you don't go act, bring up an action that is bigger than your faith. Your action must be equivalent to your faith. There are some churches you go to, they say, in this church, we don't take drugs. I encountered a religious woman that goes to a church. In their church, it is forbidden for you to go to church to give birth. The matrons, just like in the Bible, it was matrons that were delivering people. The matrons will be in church. When you have labor, you come to church. And then the matron by faith will deliver you from the thing, will bring out the baby. And this woman had sugar diabetes. She died in church, giving birth. We cannot come and say, Fem Foundation, we don't take drugs. No, we don't do that. Because the muscle with which I can now say I don't take drugs is different from your muscles. But what we can do is to develop you on your own to be able to say, by my faith, I can cancel my circumstances. My own faith. I prophesy to somebody, your faith will count. I like you to thunder. Your faith will count. Now that's what I mean. That's what he says, that physical training is good. You know what physical training does? You know what physical training does? With the right food and right exercises, you have results. In the same way, when you want to develop your faith, with the right scriptures and right meditation. I don't want to talk about meditation. I'm going to talk about meditation next Sunday. But suffices to say at this point in time that you begin changing your life standing with the word of God. The change happens inside you until the situation is more real. You are more conscious of the change on the inside than on the outside. Then the change can come. That's how to create a change. Until you are more conscious of the solution, more conscious of the answers than the troubles and the shackles, you don't see change. For instance, in our society, because of what is happening, people are living in fear. Because of all this bad news, people are living in fear. How am I supposed to live? Friends, you go back to the word of God and pick up every scripture that speaks against fear, and you stay on it, and you stay on it until you become more confidence is developed on your inside. That's based on that confidence, you start speaking the word and you start acting. That's how to put your faith to work. Godliness pays. It doesn't pay in the future. It pays today. And I have evidence for it. Godliness is much better. Promising benefits in this life. If you live a godly life, you receive your reward here and you receive your reward after here. That's why you have to be godly. And to be godly, you start the changing process by putting the word of God in your heart. Now, when it changes, will anybody see it? Of course. I have another evidence for it. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress. After some time, people will begin to see what you're working on. After some time, he said, meditate upon these things, give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. When you are developing confidence for a change, when somebody is mocking you, I told them at the second service last week, tell them I'm working on something, I'm developing something. When you see a task that you need to conquer, How you go about it is not to run and catch Goliath. What you do is you start developing the muscles of your faith before the trouble comes. I have another evidence in the Bible. Before David killed Goliath, he has been developing his faith, killing wolf. He has been developing it, killing wild animals. So when it was time to kill Goliath, it was easy for him to do it. You know, I'm telling you to develop your faith. In these days of rampant sickness and disease, you have to develop your faith in small matters like malaria, in small matters like typhoid fever. I have asked doctors several times, what is the cure for cancer? They said there is no cure. And I asked myself, I have seen people who just woke up and discovered that they have a deadly sickness. When that sickness appears in the person's body, that is not the point to develop your faith. You will not be able to develop yourself when you are in the middle of financial crisis, or in the middle of health crisis, or in the middle of any crisis at all. When do you develop your faith? You develop your faith before the crisis comes. In the world today, there are insurance. They tell you to insure your children, insure your family. We have comprehensive insurance on cars. That you insured your car with an insurance company does not mean that they will not steal the car. But there is a way to insure your car, and when the insurance is completed, nobody dares. One of my daughters was trying to scare me. He said, "Mama, see ghost." I stutter small, I look at him. I say, "I'm a shrine." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are living in this shrine. And because I'm a shrine, when ghost wants to talk to me, he will try. When the enemy shall rise up against you like the flood, the spirit of the Lord who is inside you, the shrine will raise a standard against it." I'm not telling you that trials and persecutions and temptations will not come. They will come. But develop yourself so that when they come, a standard has been raised against it. That is when the Igbo man says Odechi. Odechi is not juju. When one juju man works something, another juju man feels spoiler. But when juju man, when create all the juju men, when they this world works something, nobody dares. I have looked at every religion. There is only one that says, "Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." Only one person is bold to say that thing. Walk up your faith to connect to him so that the power he has is made available to you. What you are working on will soon show. Where do you work on it? Inside. Next week I will talk more on that. I'll talk more on that. To conclude today's scripture, can I say, young people, if anybody tells you that godliness does not pay, the person is lying. So it was Shakespeare that said that evil that men do lives after them. I have faltered that slang. The evil that men do lives with them. In fact, the Bible has even revolted it that no longer will you commit a crime, your children will carry it. So don't commit. Is develop your faith. There is a difference between a work in progress and an abandoned project. If you look at this, our church, there is a building in front of this church. It has been like that since we started. If you look at the side of the church, there were some buildings that they started. Work in progress, work in progress, work in progress. Today is a finished project. We are still waiting for this one. We don't know the destiny of that one. There are many believers who call themselves work in progress that are abandoned projects. God will never abandon you, but you can decide to abandon yourself. When you stop developing your faith in the word of God, what are you doing? When you stop learning, you start dying. The last part of today's scripture, faith requires action. Faith requires time to grow. Hallelujah. Please If you have time, please open your Bible to Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. Did anybody learn anything today? Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. Matthew 9, 20.
Praise the Lord. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment.
Please don't close your Bible. What healed her? No. It's because she touched the hem of Jesus Christ's garment. We pastors have preached that it's because she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. So, which means you can touch the hem of his garment and nothing will happen. Am I correct? So, you can be in church and nothing will happen. At the night vid, we had an awesome night on Friday night. Cure for Desert Places night. It was something else. I don't know where the people came from. God was with us. The scripture was, God has been in this place. And I did not know. It was Jacob that said so. So that you go to Femme Foundation does not mean that your life will be Femme. That the name of the vision of this church is cure for desert places does not mean you will cure desert places. To become the agent of the change you need to see. What is required? We're going to look at it from the scriptures. Behold, a woman which was diseased. The first thing I want to see is, we need people in this church, in every church in Nigeria, who are sensitive. Behold, the writer of this scripture said, behold. We need our entertainers to become sensitive to the corruption, to the decadence, to the nudity that is now the order of the day in the entertainment industry. And then to start developing themselves to proffer a solution to it. We need fathers, mothers, brothers and sisters to become sensitive to the crash that is happening to the family unit. The family is the most important unit of the society. Yet, we have allowed our families to run wild. The teenagers that stole the bus, where are their fathers? Where are their mothers? Do they not have members of the family? Listen to me. There are no special problems. There are no special cases. It is what you make of your problem that makes it special or not make it special. We need people to be available for what God is asking us to do in our generation. We need people to be dependable. Every Sunday when you come, you hear this message on national transformation. What part do you have in it? The first part is to bring other people to hear this thing I'm hearing. To mobilize people to hear what I'm hearing. That's the first part. That's the first one, being sensitive. The second one, being sensitive, is to go out into the street. If I cannot do it alone, whom can I partner with? In this church, every week, our follow-up department, they call the church members, they call the first timers, sometimes up to 20, sometimes up to 25. By the end of the month, by the time we finish January, February, we had about 200. And we were going, looking for how to get telecommunication, telephone to solve the problem. And one of us was, and gave the church phone, said, "Don't worry, I will recharge these phones. I may not be physically present to solve the problem, but I can act as an ambassador. I can spot out what is wrong. I can profile for solution. If you're a professional, you can use your skills. You can use your experience. You can use your talents to profile a solution. We can't be curing desert places on Sundays and creating desert places on Mondays to Saturdays. We need people who are available. We called for women meeting. Women, let us come build our families. About 20 of us came. The rest of us, what happened? Was there a phone call to return to us that, hey, I couldn't go, I cannot make it? We cannot watch our generation fall. What are you sensitive about? Some Somebody told me on Saturday that there are people in prison who are languishing for what they did not do. Who can stand up for them? That is our faith. Let's go beyond that. The Bible says this woman was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years. When we sit down in church and we are so well dressed and we all smell nice, beyond what I'm seeing, the real you that is inside has not been taken care of. This woman had an issue, and this issue went on for 12 years. Please follow me. There are many injuries and many wounds that we are carrying that is not physical. Yes, hers is physical, but if you know her, if you didn't come close to her, or if she didn't run away from you, you wouldn't know that she wears pads 24 hours. Please look at me. I'm going to say something very sensitive. An expert information told me that when a child is born, there are different segments and stages of life. You have your childhood stage, you have your career stage, you have your retirement stage, and all that. At every stage of life, he said there are developmental tasks. For instance, when you're a child, when you are growing, there are tasks that you're supposed to be given. Those tasks are supposed to help you develop your mental ability. For instance, a child at 2 and a child at 7 or 8, the task you give them is not the same. Those of you that have your children in pre-nursery, is it pre-nursery or kindergarten? I don't know what they call it now. I don't know. Under school. Eh? Pre-nursery, thank you very much. My son is at pre-nursery. He goes to school, there is no book inside his bag. There's no book. He has a bag. The thing that's inside the bag is food. He carries food to eat and things to drink. And after, you pay money. And after, he comes back. Then once in a while, they will give him an assignment. He's not reading anything. They will say, paint. Then they will tell us, supervise him to paint. When he leaves that class and he's going to another class, the task he will be given is different. Is that correct? Now he can go to school and he will carry bunny in his two hands, has bunny bag and carries bunny. Everything about him is bunny. And the teacher say, let him come, Uncle Bunny. Let me see whether in primary school, whether you still be Uncle Bunny. You know what? The task they are giving him that is the one that fits his biological age. If those tasks are not given, and he doesn't solve those tasks, when he develops, he will be developed not balanced. His development will be tilted. That notwithstanding, his biological age will still be counting. But his developmental or mental or emotional or intellectual age will not be counting. Now, he is 15 years. The task he's supposed to be given at 5 years, he didn't do it. You now give him a task of 15 years when he is 5 years. 10 years of his developmental life gone. When he becomes 15, he will have issues. Church, look at me in the face. It's me that is talking to you. And if you don't want to hear me, when I say issues, maybe when he becomes a man and his wife says, can we do it like this? He retaliates or he responds with rage or violence, frustration or depression. He has intense negative emotions. Issues. Everybody look at me. I'm about to end. I have come like a doctor and I'm taking you to the theater. I know you are 45, but you have issues. The issue, you are 35, You have 25 years old issue. 35 minus 25. Huh? If you are 35, the issues you are carrying is 25 years. 25 minus 35. 10. So you are 10 years old. Listen to me. What is it that makes people join cult? One of the things that happens is, when you are growing up at home, you were not affirmed. When I come next week, I'm going to show you 5 levels of needs that every human being has. And anyone that is missing, the person has a problem. You were not affirmed at home. At home, you were always put down. At home, you were always made to feel like a weakling. And then you step out into the streets. You see people who have hearts. They do things. And they start telling you can do it. For instance, the first day you come out on the streets and you stand by, they tell you, Kenneth, can you toast that girl? Because you want to be a man. He said, I can toast her now. I can toast her. They will say, go and toast her and I'll try. And then maybe you go and you talk to the girl. The girl puts you down. You come back, they laugh at you. Jew boy. Ordinary girl, you know, if you toast. Watch me now, I'm going to toast the girl. The boy goes. And then he wraps the girl up. In 2 minutes, he gets the girl. When this boy, when he comes back, he's like the role model. He is the king of the pack. Now you start telling him, how did you do it now? How did you do it? He says, it's easy. It's this, thing. You need to be a man at heart to be able to achieve that. The person that is talking to you has issue. He has never been affirmed. He's looking for validation. And that thing he did to that girl is a source of validation. When he came back, he's validated. I have power. And then he said, teach me. And then he said, okay, you have to have heart. Take this cigarette and take and smoke it. And the first time you smoke it, you cough. He said, ah, you boy. He takes it, and he's standing very stable. You start looking at him as a role model. With his issues, you want to be like him. I'm using one aspect of our lives. There are different aspects. I close on this. I will pick it up from here next week. If you have issues, the best thing to do with your issues is to talk to somebody. That's why we have small groups. The second thing you do with your issues, never be too proud. Open it up to God. Rise on your feet.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.